Just a quick word to the record companies. Can you please lower the price of albums and singles so that people, you know, can actually afford to buy them? Would you do that, please?
How much of a hole do you want to dig? I mean, you want to keep going?
No, can I do this now? I love you.
3, 2, 1, please.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, here we go. Okay, Radio 1 Best British Newcomer Award in reverse order. Number 3, Bronski Beat. What a rowdy lot. 2, Nick Kershaw. And the 1984 British Newcomers who received the most votes from Radio 1 listeners were Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Well, it's difficult to think of Frankie Goes to Hollywood as newcomers to the industry. They've had more success and publicity in 1 year than many bands have had in their entire careers. A lot of publicity, of course, emanated from the fact that their record Relax was banned on Radio 1. It actually, though, went on to become the fourth biggest UK bestseller of all time. Their second record, Two Tribes, also went to number one, as indeed did their third single, The Power of Love. Welcome to the Pleasure Dome also went to number one.
Go ahead, say some words.
Oh, wow. I've got to say something now.
Thank you.
Thank you, that's a good one. We won. Can we go home now?
Well, they can go. They can go. Could you stay?
Oh, all right.
Right, if Hollywood stay, thank gentlemen, you thank you very much indeed. Congratulations.
I wanted Holly to stay. We come to the best international artist of 1984. He's got the name of the winner in there. First of all, though, the nominations, starting off with Michael Jackson. Prince. Lionel Richie. Bruce Springsteen. And ZZ Top.
Oh, do I open the envelope now?
Yes, please.
Right. I know who it is now. I've never met this man, but I've had sex on the phone with him. It's the fabulous Prince and the Revolution.
Prince is the son of a jazz band leader. He was leading his own band at the age of 12. He has been hugely popular in the United States for quite a while, but it's only in the last year that this man has really broken through in Britain. His reputation is absolutely formidable, partly due to his music, but also to his unique stage act. It's been described as outrageous, awesome, striking, and risque. On occasion, he's been known to perform on stage wearing black bikini pants, black woolly leg warmers, and black boots. But the reality of the situation is that it doesn't matter what he wears, it is actually what is in the grooves of his records that count. And if you actually listen to what is in the groove of every single record the man has ever created, you will hear nothing but number one genius, Prince.
I'm not a big talker or anything, but I'd just like to say that it's nice to know that someone cares and loves you so far away. Thank you.
He's never been known for saying a lot. He's been known for recording great songs and great albums.
Many thanks to Holly Johnson for making that presentation. We have a special award coming very shortly, ladies and gentlemen, plus the best male artist. We've got a very special guest from America. Right now, more action from the stage here at the Grosvenor House Hotel. Here's Nick Kershaw.
right there if I were you. I got it harder. You couldn't dream how hard I got it. Stay out of my shoes. If you know it's good for you. The heat is stifling, burning me up from the inside. I mean, the sweat is coming through each and every pore. No more.
Thank you very much, Nick. Ladies and gentlemen, we come to a very special award. It's probably the only time that this award will be made. It's in recognition of an event which has hardly been out of the headlines for the last few months. On October the 23rd of last year, Bob Geldof was watching the BBC News, and like millions of fellow viewers, was horrified at the pictures that were coming out of Ethiopia. Unlike millions of other viewers, Bob decided to immediately do something about those harrowing scenes. Along with Midge Ure, they got together with other friends and colleagues within this business. The rest of it is history, as you know. Band-Aid, do they know it's Christmas? Something like £8 million already for the Ethiopian famine relief. The BPI Council would like to make this award not just to Bob and to Midge, they would like to make it as a thank you to all the people in the industry who really pulled out the stops to get Band-Aid on the road, to get that amount of money organised, and to, in many respects, show the industry in the best possible light. I'm delighted to say that to present this award, we have the gentleman who's brilliant and compassionate film reports from Ethiopia really started the whole thing. He's come all the way from beautiful warm Johannesburg to freezing cold London tonight to make this award. I'm sure we'll all give a very warm welcome to Michael Burke.
Not the greatest job in the world. They say it's hard not to turn into a cynic if you're a news reporter. This man is one of the best, Michael Burke.
When you're in that sort of situation, face to face with that level of misery and suffering, it's impossible not to be very upset and to be moved almost beyond words. What's very heartwarming is that millions of people around the world were also moved when they saw the pictures in the comfort of their own living rooms at second hand. But to have two people with the drive and the imagination to harness all that flair to make all that money for those people, Well, I think, you know, people like you and me who felt very helpless in that situation almost owe them as much thanks as the people of Ethiopia that they've helped so much. And that's not just my opinion. We've received this letter from Buckingham Palace from Prince Charles, who says, "I just wanted to say how enormously impressed both my wife and I were by such an imaginative and generous gesture on the part of all the artists who took part in this project. Having met quite a few of the artists involved, including yourself, I felt I must write and congratulate you all on the magnificent achievement of raising £8 million in this way. You've set us all a wonderful example, and I'm sure you'll have made a great difference to the lives of considerable numbers of people in Ethiopia." That's worth a night or two, I should think. So, ladies and gentlemen, for tonight's special award, Bob Geldof and Midgeur, please come forward.
Bob Geldof and Midgeur have been the driving force behind the Band-Aid record. Between them, they were responsible for writing and also for producing it. I must tell you now that there is everybody, but everybody, on their feet in this hall at the moment, here at the Grosvenor House Hotel in Park Lane, and deservedly so. Things like this don't happen too often in life, and when they do, they deserve applause, and they sincerely deserve to be remembered. Bob Geldof and Midgeur.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know what we do with this, if we split it down the middle or what, but any minute I expect Eamon Andrews to come walking out. I'll say something. You know that it wouldn't have been possible without the complicity of all the record companies. In particular, Phonogram, who gave everything. And more importantly, they gave everything for nothing in return. To all the guys here, to Sting and to Wham and the Frankies and all the other people on it, I think along with 8 million or 10 million other people around the world who helped, I think they let it be known that what is happening in Africa, to me, is willful murder. And what happened 40 years ago in Europe in the Holocaust is like some ghastly and perverted tea party in comparison. And there are now, it is like some horrible and miserable dichotomy for everyone sitting at home and for all of us here eating and drinking, that there are people in the hour and a half that this show lasts, possibly 1,500, maybe more, who are dying in the most abject human degradation that it's possible to experience. And I am mortally ashamed that our respective governments in the Western world do not do something now, immediately, and said massive aid. There is no political, logical, or financial argument that they do not do so now. The UN has called this one of the most massive catastrophes ever in the human experience. At the end of this century, when the history of this time is written, I want to be one of the ones who look back and say not guilty. And I thank everybody who lifted up their hands as well. And there have been criticisms from the guy in the South Coast record store who won't stock any more Boomtown Rats records because I deprived him of his Christmas bonus personally. To the ceaseless carping of that most foolish section of the British publishing industry, the music press. But I would answer their criticisms by saying that with one piece of plastic that is 7 inches wide with a hole in the middle, that became the price of a life this year, and it is the record industry throughout the world that in 1985 will raise through the various Band-Aid projects up to $500 million, which is twice the total USA to the Horn of Africa. Thank you very much indeed.
Of Gilbert Majeure, who via Band-Aid stopped the talking and started the action.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is one extra thing that I'd like to do. On Christmas Day, I presented a television show from the top of the telecom tower in London. We had mammoth cooperation from British Telecom, who said if you phoned the show, they would match the value of the calls with real money, and calls to their disc service, and Band-Aid was on that. We are absolutely thrilled to be able to say, Bob, please have this in your safekeeping. £50,406.85 from British Telecom.
Thank you very much. Good night.
We don't really need it, but let's have another reminder of the famous faces that made up Band-Aid.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shame. Our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. But say a prayer, pray for the other one at Christmas time. It's hard, but when you're
we now move on, ladies and gentlemen, to the Best Film Soundtrack Award, to be presented by two ladies who could justifiably claim to be the most successful people in the record business at this very moment, because they're at number one. Barbara Dixon and Elaine Page.
We're the duet, I know him so well, top of the charts at the moment, Barbara Dixon and Elaine Page, of course, are successful in their own rights individually. Elaine Page, actress on stage, and of course, Barbara's had hit records, quite a number of them.
Jonathan King says we remind him of Hinge and Bracket. But we'd just like to say that we are 100% feminine, just like Jonathan. Sorry.
Don't apologise to me, I approve. The film soundtrack nominations start off with Electric Dreams. Culture Club, Giorgio Moroder, Bruce Woolley, Heaven 17, Jeff Lynne all feature on the soundtrack of Electric Dreams. The film was directed by Steve Barron, and a variety of producers worked on the album. Features music by Kenny Loggins, Denise Williams, Mike Reno, Bonnie Tyler, Shalimar, Carla Bonham, Sammy Hager, and Moving Pictures. The film was directed by Herbert Ross and produced by Louis J. Rackmill and Craig Zadan. Give My Regards to Broad Street was one of the most publicised movies of last year. The film itself was given a mixed reception. The soundtrack, however, produced by George Martin with music by Paul McCartney, was well accepted by the critics. Purple Rain, Prince and the Revolution were responsible not only for the music but also the production on this soundtrack of Purple Rain. The film was directed by Albert Magnoli. Red is the final nomination, with music by Stevie Wonder, who also produced the album, and Dionne Warwick. The film was produced by Victor Dre and directed by its star Gene Wilder. Could we have the result, please?
And the result is Purple Rain, Prince.
Anyone who saw Purple Rain will know that Prince not only produced and performed the soundtrack, he also starred in the film. It's a story of music, love, and heartbreak. The Los Angeles Herald called it the best rock film ever made. Prince dominates the screen with allure and menace and vulnerability. Purple Rain has already produced two transatlantic hit singles, the title track and, of course, When Doves Cry. Also, one of the extremely interesting things about Prince's music, at least as far as this disc jockey is concerned, is the way that he has combined a rock feel, a very sort of left-field rock feel, with a right-field soul feel. And I think he's the first artist in American history who's ever been able to do that. Purple Rain, by Prince. Here he is, to get the award.
Oh, thanks to God. Good night.
Once again, doesn't say a lot, but he means it.
I think I understood a little more that time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a band who have been nominated for a Best British Single, we'll find out that fate in just a little while. Will you please welcome, with a small town boy, Bronski Beat. Bronski Beat, and they won't have to wait too long to find out whether they've got the best single of 1984. And now on to another very hotly contested category, that of Best Male Artist. To make the presentation, a lady who has really become an extremely accomplished actress, Toya.
As an actress, she has worked with Sir Laurence Olivier and Catherine Hepburn. As a star, she's had quite a number of hit records. Toya Wilcox.
Is it true you're doing a film with Roger Daltrey?
I've just made a film with Roger Daltrey, where in it he had to try and murder me, which would probably please a lot of people.
Oh.
So there you go.
When's that coming out?
I think it's coming out in the summer for Channel 4. I think it's going to show in America first.
Good.
So there you go.
Right. Well, we come to the nominations for this Best Male Artist category. Starting off with David Bowie. Then there's Howard Jones. Nick Kershaw. Paul McCartney. And Paul Young.
This is the man who's had more changes of personality than Doctor Who. As a singer, he's gone from rhythm and blues to hard rock to soul to disco. As an actor, he's taken on some of the most unlikely roles, including, of course, The Elephant Man, which he did on Broadway. David Bowie, I'm told, has the same birthday as Elvis Presley, January the 8th, but he's 12 years his junior. David Bowie.
She got everything.
Howard Jones has done for synthesizers what Ronald Reagan has done for hair dye. Born in Southampton, Howard spent his childhood moving from house to house and from country to country as his father constantly changed jobs. At the age of 19, though, Howard enrolled at music college but opted out because of intolerance and snobbishness. His words were the words about him. Nick Kershaw was destined to go into music. His father was a flautist, his mother runs a local choir. He's also got a manager called Mickey Martin. Nick's first band was formed when he was 14. The group played no fewer than 3 gigs and then split up. Then he decided to write some songs and become a massive success. He spent 3 fascinating years in the Department of Employment in Ipswich, but couldn't see over the counter.
No more lonely nights.
What can be said about Paul McCartney that hasn't already been said? So, frankly, I don't think I'll say any more. Paul McCartney, the greatest writer in the world. Paul Young has the distinction of having a very big fan club, nearly as big as Noel Edmonds. Apart from that, 1984 was an eventful year for Mr. Young, culminating with the success of Everything Must Change. Difficult to imagine Paul topping his achievements of his debut LP, No Parley, but look out for the follow-up album, The Secret of Association. He's just finished working on that. It's going to be a monster.
There are the nominations. Toya, would you like to tell us who's won, please?
And the winner of the Best British Male Artist is, of course, Paul Young.
Well, it's taken Paul Young the best part of 6 years to achieve major success. Obviously, having Jimmy as a great-great-grandfather can't necessarily be an advantage. Now, the breakthrough came in 1983 with Wherever I Lay My Hat, That's My Home. Last year, Paul Young continued to grow in popularity, ended the year with another huge hit, Everything Must Change. He also, of course, was one of the lead vocalists on Band-Aid's Don't They Know It's Christmas. He appeared before the Prince and Princess of Wales in last year's Princess Trust Gala. Mr. Paul Young, what a voice.
Well, it's hot in here, isn't it? I was very unprepared for this because I spent quite a little bit of time out of 1984 through illness and stuff, so this has been a real surprise for me. I'd like to say thanks because I didn't last year to my other half, Ian Cooley, if you're watching at home, Raya. My keyboard player's been with me for 6 or 7 years, and I'm very pleased to receive this. And it's very proud to win this on behalf of the British music industry. Thanks.
Well done, Paul. Here now is a lady who had an extremely successful 1984, popped over from America just to be with us at the Grosvenor House this evening. Tina Turner!
Says you can't be glamorous and alluring when you're female and over 40. Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? You're listening to the British Record Industry Awards 1985, live from the Grosvenor House Hotel in London. Also, of course, on television as well. Tina Turner, what a stunner.
Tina Turner. Ought to get a special award for attempting that curtsy at the end. Now we come to the best British single in the past. The honour's gone to Soft Cell, Dexys Midnight Runners. Last year the award was carried off by Culture Club. Here is a gentleman to present the award who's right in the middle of a UK tour at the moment. Delighted he can join us, Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, it is reported, died for 40 seconds when he collapsed on stage recently. Happily, he recovered enough to be here tonight. Nobody could build a replica that big.
All right, how's the tour going?
Tour's going good, you know, but you don't have much call for formal attire on tours, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So tonight I went to put on my pants, and my pants were big enough for the entire viewing audience, so I had to wear my blue jeans, which are rolled up. My wife, I didn't have a button, So my wife pinned it, but this is a real tie. And when I got here, I got chocolate sauce on my shirt. And when Prince came in, it was the best rock and roll entrance I've seen in years. Gum flew into my hair, and I had to cut it out with cigar clippers. And also, I have a white rose, but I don't have a pin. So I'm giving it to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Noel.
Thank you.
Noel, should we do this? You don't want to do this? You want to give me 5 minutes like Billy Connolly? Is that what's going on? I'm telling you now, you better not, because the producers are afraid of the same thing. It's written on your eyelids, just like Billy said.
Yes,
you know?
Fine, okay.
This is rock and roll.
Thank you for the rose.
You're welcome.
Sorry about such a arduous evening. Here are the nominations in this category for the Best British Single, starting off with George Michael for Careless Whisper. Frankie Goes to Hollywood for Two, Relax and Two Tries. Ronski Beats and That Small Town Boy we saw earlier, and Sade, Smooth Operator.
Well, George Michael is, according to one unconfirmed report, the shy one in the Wham partnership, or at least people say he used to be when he attended the same school as Andrew Ridgeley many years ago. Well, all of 5 or 6 years ago. It was there that they met and became inseparable friends. George, however, did go his own way for just a short time in 1984 when he released the massive chart hit Careless Whisper. Although Relax was actually released in 1983, it achieved most of its success in 1984, reaching number one for the first time on January 24th, staying there for 5 weeks and remaining in the charts for 50 consecutive weeks. It was also number one in Germany, Finland, Greece, Spain, Belgium, France, Switzerland, Italy, oh, and many other places. Two Tribes has been top of the charts not only in Britain, but also in, more countries here, Germany, Greece, Belgium, Era, Holland and New Zealand. It went silver in just 2 days and gold within a week. Already nominated in the Best British Group category, Bronski Beat can genuinely be considered an overnight success. They played their first gig only in the summer of 1983, quickly signed to London Records, then they had an immediate hit with Small Town Boy. Their follow-up was an unusual but clever arrangement of Gershwin's 1935 song, It Ain't Necessarily So. Sade, who's up for her third nomination in this year's BPI Awards, is not only one of the most interesting new voices on the pop scene, she's also one of the most photographed faces. She's actually been on the covers of 8 British newspapers and magazines.
We have the nominations. Well, can I ask you, please?
Absolutely, I will open the envelope. You know, I lost it backstage. We had to search for it. I couldn't believe it. Well, Relax, Don't Do It. Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Well, it's certainly been Frankie's evening. 2 nominations for Best Singles, a nomination for the Best Group, winners of the Radio 1 Award. Trevor Hall, of course, wins as producer of Relax. Now they hear that Relax has won the coveted Best British Single Award for 1984. Marvelous news for Holly Johnson, Paul Rutherford, Mark O'Toole, Peter Gill and Brian Nash. Everything's gone well for Frankie and Hollywood. In fact, they got to Hollywood this year. I wonder what 1985 will bring them. Hopefully more hit singles and great productions.
Hello. I'd like to thank Trevor Horn, Jill Sinclair, Steve Lipson, Andy Richards, everyone connect with this ZTT and Sam West. We love you all. Cheers.
Nice one.
Man.
You got it. Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well done, Jack. Thank you.
The Best British Single, Relax. Frankie Goes to Hollywood, the 4th biggest selling single ever in the United Kingdom.
Many congratulations to them. We come to the 14th and the final award of this evening, which is the Outstanding Contribution Award. It's not presented every year. The definition of it, if I can quote, is an award reserved for people who, in the opinion of their peers, have achieved preeminence in their own particular field and use their talents to enhance the status of the whole music industry as well as their own. It's recognition of not what they've gained but what they have given to the music industry. To make this award and to explain more about it, we have the chairman of the BPI, Mr. Maurice Oberstein.
Maurice Oberstein is known as Obi to everybody in the industry. He's been in the record industry since back in 1965.
Thank you, Noel. It makes me proud on behalf of the British industry to be the presenter of this honor. The outstanding contribution to the British music industry is to the Police.
Summer, Stuart Copeland and Sting. Just three people who've created really an industry of their own. Success after success after success. Songwriters, producers in their own right as well, and of course fine musicians. Hard-working touring
gentlemen,
artists.
I have a bunch of words here that talks about your 14 UK chart single successes, five number ones in the UK, but to the British music industry, the quality of your music has been the thing that was paramount in our decision to award this honor to you. You became the forefront for British music. For those of us who were here a decade or so ago, British music was not exactly in the ascendancy it is today. Through the quality of the music produced by Police, by Stuart, Sting, and Andy, they made way for all the British artists who followed on after them. Congratulations, gentlemen. Before I let loose of this award, let's all enjoy a few minutes of the music of the Police.
You don't have to put on the red light.